This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. How can we make the representation of disabled characters better in film and TV? Well, today we're joined by founder of DARC, Disability Action Research Collective, Richard Am, to hear about his research into this and a tool for writers called People or Props. Hi, Richard. Thank you so much for joining us. So before we talk about People or Props, what is your background?
So I'm a psychologist. I did my undergrad at Greenwich. My dissertation was on the personality traits that predict prejudice against disabled people. And my master's at UCL was in disability design innovation, which was a multidisciplinary master's. And my dissertation for that was called People or Props, which was using my background on disability prejudice research to build a tool for analyzing film, to tell you how likely a film was to be reinforcing prejudice in the minds of the viewers.
You brought together a collection of interviews from different researchers and people with lived experience. How did the interviews inform the People or Props score?
I gathered together a team of disabled experts, some psychologists, some media experts, some actors and directors and people within the industry and sensitivity readers. And I essentially worked with them to develop these tools and had their input at sort of multiple stages and would integrate all of their recommendations and sort of just build consensus between the group as the sort of project developed. And so originally it was going to be just a whole lot of advice, and then that turned out to be just too much for the industry to really take on board. So they wanted something short and snappy, which was like five things. And so it ended up being split into like a quick test that you can just do to see whether something needs work. And then if it needs work, you've got a much longer set of more detailed recommendations to engage with.
Can you talk us through the quick score version of People or Props?
So in terms of the quick score, there's six fairly binary measurable things you can look at for the quick score. The first one was authenticity. Like, are the disabled characters actually being played by people with lived experience of disability? And this is really important, because even if you have a story which is affirming and sort of puts someone in this person's shoes, knowing that they aren't really disabled, and also it means that you don't end up with sort of disabled celebrities who get famous from having done stuff. And it takes away jobs from disabled people in the industry, which means that they get seen even less. So it's very important, but it isn't kind of enough on their own, because casting a disabled person in a propaganda film against disabled people obviously isn't going to do much for us. So it isn't just about representation. There's also a lot of context around that. And similarly, the second one is frequency. Like, are there more than two disabled characters? The most famous book on physical disability is called The Cinema of Isolation. And just because so often there's only one disabled character and they're just surrounded by everyone else who isn't disabled. And yeah, it's important to sort of see disabled people as a group and how they interact with each other. And just frequency in general is good, assuming that other conditions are met, which I'll go into in a moment. The third one is embodiment, which is, are you seeing things from their point of view, or is it from a character who has a friend with a disability? I'd argue most films about disability aren't actually about the disabled person. They're about someone who isn't disabled, sort of who's next to them. And that's because a lot of film producers don't expect the audience to sympathize with the disabled character or be able to see themselves in it, because a disability is so heavily stigmatized. So they have a non-disabled character that you can see yourself in, because that's the intended audience, which unfortunately means that the opportunity for connecting and seeing things from a disabled experience is lost. So they are sort of, in a way, financial incentives for excluding disabled people from representation, which is interesting in the industry. Another one is status. So is the disabled character in the narrative equal to other characters, or they're subordinate or sort of in charge of somebody else? You're far more likely to have empathy for someone if they're on your level, whereas if you see them as above you or below you, the empathy is kind of hampered in that regard. And this is kind of the problem with a lot of representations that we call supercrip, which I'm not sure if people are familiar with, but it's a term where someone sort of inspirationally overcomes a perceived deficit, and usually in this case their disability, but they're usually presented as almost superhuman in that way. So it's often just another trick to allow the audience to sort of disengage their empathy. Another factor is agency. So, does the disabled character exist in the narrative for themselves? Do they do anything other than things that directly relate to their disability? Like, do they have a hobby or just anything about them? And it's just sort of pushing against sort of single note characters that are very shallow, just like showing someone with flaws and ambitions and like character changing over time, I think is very important. It really fleshes it out. And the final one is whether something is reinforcing a stereotype or is sort of normalizing them as sort of actual people. And a lot of stereotypes include things like disability being linked to desexualization or infantilization or emasculation or even animal-like traits. But all of those are very dehumanizing in their own way. But other ones are sort of linking disability to evil or violence, or even disability being seen as like caused by supernatural forces or as punishment for wrongdoing. And that can include even stuff like presenting someone faking a disability, also very problematic. And avoiding the sort of the three main endings for disabled characters, which is cure, death, or institutionalization, but as a happy as happy endings. And yeah, very often disability showing up into a story is seen as a loose end. Like someone being alive and disabled is a loose end, and so they feel the need to sort of tie that up narratively. But again, because eugenics has so heavily influenced representation in film, it means that the disabled character has to can't exist in society anymore. They either die or institutionalized or cured. And sometimes they sort of inspirationally overcome their disability by integrating into a society that hasn't changed to include them at all. So sort of a very individualizing sort of the political experience of disability. So yeah, it was a series of very short questions. These aren't the only things which are important, and there was a whole other tool, which is the other part of this. And this wasn't intended to replace hiring disabled writers, which you should always do, and having disabled actors, which you should always do, and sort of allow them to have input from the beginning, and also having sensitivity readers. My work was a response to them not doing that, like not even doing the bare minimum. So my work was to at least have a touchstone that you could point to prevent people from doing the bare minimum, because there are lots of structural reasons people don't hire disabled people for jobs. And in the film industry, it is very often physically inaccessible. The hours are long and grueling, and there's just a whole range of reasons that I couldn't even go into, to be honest.
And have you had feedback from people who have used this or a vision of how you'd like it to be used?
So currently, there are writers' textbooks that tell you, and this is the Bible of screenwriting. So this is the textbook for training screenwriters. Tells you to add a disability to a character to visually represent moral failings. So, for example, if someone is a emotional cripple, you should give them a physical disability to make them a physical cripple. Is actual advice in an actual writing textbook. And similarly, examples of films like Me Before You are also in textbooks, sort of recommending them for their story structure and how they deal with disability. So there's certainly a lot of work that the industry needs to do. And my hope is that this tool can be used in training a new generation of writers to question some of the narratives that they have. One of the things I talk about in the horror scene is that how traditionally the enemy of the society is often represented as enemies in the film at the time. So, for example, during different wars, so during the Cold War, a lot of the baddies were Russians. During the Iraq War, you had a lot of bad guys who were Middle Eastern. So they always represent who you're trying to propagandize against within the society. But disabled people have been villains the entire time. And that, again, is because of the structural forces which promote the exclusion of disabled people. So there are theories within psychology that prejudice accrues around anyone who is sort of oppressed within a society. And that helps to reinforce their oppression, which helps to stabilize the society, which is made unstable by the inequality. So that's why groups which are on the harsh end of inequality tend to have lots of negative associations actively pushed on them.
And people can read in even more detail about your work. How can people access your dissertation?
Right, so my dissertation is open access, so you should be able to find it by Googling my name, Richard Am, that is AMM, Alpha Mike, and the words people or props. and then it should hopefully come up. There's also an easy read version available on the same site. And if you do find our zines, I have a disability film analysis tools zine, which is a summary of the work that I did, as well as a collection of all the different disability Bechdel tests I could find at the time.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Richard Am, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me.